Blessings from North Carolina. Let us enter into this chapter 15, the deep pool of our being. Please, everyone, take this seriously. There are 10 of us in this class, and I feel there must be one or two also on the outside listening. And there's no reason why all of us can't come into the consciousness that poured forth as these classes. There's no reason why we can't come into that consciousness and remain there as a permanent dispensation, as our own consciousness. For there is only one consciousness, and that is God consciousness. And really, he starts off this chapter with that very principle. God is individual consciousness. Now, if you want this bad enough, you can have it. It's free for the taking. The only thing that's required is the practice. And I know some of you were having a difficult time because you wrote me, two or three of you, putting this into practice 12 times a day. In fact, a part of you, which is the personal sense, rebelled and got a little feisty about it. It's okay. I love you, and I know God loves you, because God is your individual consciousness. How could it not love itself? God is love, and so there's no earning or unearning. But let's get back to work, shall we? Even if some of this mortal material sense interfered for a while, you wouldn't be on this path if it wasn't possible for you to embrace it. And so, fine, go ahead and rebel for a while. You know you'll come back. I know you'll come back. And I've had those periods myself. I told you the one where I tore up every book I had, every tape. I was just going to be normal. God, leave me alone. Why? Why was I so angry? Because even though I experienced the presence of God, it wasn't bending to my will. It wasn't healing the person I wanted it to heal. And so I was mad, and I stomped, and I kicked my feet. God being God, with infinite patience, let me throw my tantrum, and when it was over, when I thought I had banished God and wouldn't be bothered with him again, in the middle of the night, he tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Are you done? Are you done? Can we continue now?" And so I think you'll have the same experience. So let's get back to work. Now, he talks about the fruitage. Already we're beginning to see some fruitage from the practice of these principles. Remember, those in this class are also trying, some succeeding, some sort of succeeding, some not succeeding at all, trying to practice that listening without words or thoughts 12 times a day. And if they must have a thought, they're clinging to "Thy grace is my sufficiency," or "I have meat to eat ye know not of." But they're trying to practice it, even as we are. And so they're seeing some fruitage. And what is the fruitage? If you notice, I made a note. The fruitage of making contact is some kind of healing. Financial, relationships, health, supply, mental, emotional, spiritual. This is how the mind interprets that contact. After the contact is made and it flows forth, it's invisible. We know now the mind clothes that invisibility with its concepts. And as Joel pointed out in The Infinite Way, healing is really improved concepts. So, you are becoming free from a mortal sense of that invisible being, and you're seeing better and better concepts of it. You're beginning to accept that maybe it is infinite, and then that results in the appearance of a healing. You're beginning to accept maybe it is omnipresent, and that results in the appearance of a healing. You're beginning to accept that maybe it is omnipotent, and that results in the appearance of a healing. But there is some healing always, because that shows you you're on the right track. Well, that's not really the right way to say that. There's some healing always because that's the proof that you've made contact. That's what I want to say. Because the contact flows forth and results in improved concepts or healing. So, what is the basic principle that we expect great things of? He asks, and then he answers. God is individual consciousness. And, as I put, this is realized, experienced, when and as we make the contact. All right, so we've all read over the years, God is individual consciousness. God is the substance of individual being. We've thought about it, we've pondered it, and it sometimes makes little sense. Yes, I can see that. But none of that resulted in the fruitage. There wasn't any healing, right? No improving. No appearance closer to the image and likeness. Still, a sense of limitation and lack persists. Because that's not contact, pondering that. We know that. Yes, God is individual consciousness, but unless it is realized and experienced within, then there's no fruitage. All right, so we bring that up because if you're not seeing any fruitage, you haven't made the contact. And even if you felt kind of peaceful within, that's not enough. I'm sorry. But the proof is in the pudding. All right. So God as individual consciousness is the principle upon which everything else stems out of the message of the infinite way. And I wrote, you must prove this principle by the new meditation in which you take no thought. The one vision above all that may be called the vision of the infinite way is the principle that God is individual consciousness. Alright, so that's the one vision above everything, that God is your infinite individual consciousness. Well, that's nice, and it's pretty, and it's comforting. But where are the fruits? Where are the results? And that's what we're talking about in this chapter. Now, you know, he's quoting some scriptures that back up or authorize that principle that God is individual consciousness, which are, I and the Father are one, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and so on. So now you have his word that God is individual consciousness, and you have scripture to back it up. You have your own ponderings and thinking about it over the years. The only thing you lack is the experience of that. But the experience you can have. You can have it. He's going to tell you how. Now, this, you see, separates us from any sense of reaching out to a God somewhere. That was the whole point of learning in chapter 12, to not take any thought, so that you wouldn't reach out somewhere, but rather you'd reach a point of rest. So, God consciousness is my individual being. That's the principle of this chapter. Really, the topmost principle and vision, he calls it, of the infinite way. Now, we all agree that God is infinite power of good, but then we fail to realize that God is our own being. Yes, we all agree that God is an infinite power of good. But you know, when we first come to this study, we may feel that God is an infinite power of good out there somewhere. We may even look at terms such as omnipresence and feel that God is present everywhere out there. Sometime, sooner or later in our meditation, something happens and we have the sudden realization, as I did, omnipresence doesn't mean God is present everywhere out there. Omnipresence means that presence, everywhere presence, is right here. That omnipresence is right here. Everywhere is right here. In and as my consciousness. So, we agree that it's an infinite power of good, but then we fail to realize that God is our own being, and there's the problem. We fail to realize it. Now, he has a book out called Realization of Oneness, and he's always, I don't think there's ever been very many paragraphs in which his word realize doesn't appear. It's an important word. He uses it all the time. And at one time in my journey, I suddenly realized, I don't know what realize means. What does it mean? What does it feel like? How do you know you've realized the truth? And that's what this chapter is going to help us with. Now, this is absolute truth. This is complete truth. This is the real truth of the universe. But, I wrote, it must be realized by this practice of 12 times a day and the actual feeling of it. See, I believe it's in a parenthesis in eternity that he says realization is the actual feel of it. It's experienced in the heart, not in the head. Which doesn't mean it's emotional now. We have to use these poetic terms because there's no earth terms to describe such things. But at least it'll point us in the right direction, which is away from the head. And again, all of this is true, but it is of no avail to anyone, except in proportion as they attain an inner realization of it. It only becomes the life of our life when we have attained the first spark of inner realization, inner illumination, that reveals to us that this is the truth. And how do we have that realization? Through the practice of chapter 10 and chapter 12. Because, he says, wherever there is one moment of silence, there is heaven. That sounds very poetic, doesn't it? How beautiful. One moment of silence is the experience of heaven. But I'm telling you, this is very practical. And we're going to cover that too in a minute or two. Out of the depths of a silence, such as is in this room at this moment, an infinity of healings can take place. Wherever in the world there is a soul desperately reaching out for a realization of the Christ or for the help of God, that soul could tune into the silence in this room. And there's his vision again of a circle of Christhood. And so we see now that Joel's work here for several years, well, up until 1959, when he discovered people didn't understand the healing principles. They didn't understand the nature of error, and then he went around trying to shore that up. Up until then, his work was to bring everybody to that point of contact so that they knew they were having a realization, they knew what a realization was, they knew they were having it, they knew what fruitage to look for, and his hope was to see, witness the formation of a circle of people around the world making that inner contact to the point of realization where the fruitage would be worldwide. And anyone, anywhere could reach out to that, and then people would be lifted by the millions. It's a beautiful vision. And it can happen, except for one little tiny thing. We settle for an emotional feeling and think we've had realization. Or we settle for a mental, intellectual grasping and think we've had realization. This path requires diligent self-honesty, extreme self-honesty. If you're not seeing the fruitage, you don't have it. And that's just the bottom line. Where Christ is, there is healing. Because where the Spirit is, there's freedom from mortal sins. So, in spite of what you may feel are spiritual experiences, if you're not experiencing healing for yourself or those that turn to you, then you don't have it. You haven't made the contact. Nothing wrong with that, except be honest. Turn back to this. Practice what he's going to tell us. What is this silence that has such tremendous power? It is the consciousness of God when human sense is still. Now, if you've read The Art of Meditation, in the chapter Fear Not, I believe, is a sentence that I underlined years and years and years ago because I knew it was the truth. Yet it took me years and years and years to discover how to do it. And that is the line that says, God is known only when the human mind is at rest. And there's the whole secret. If you, by practicing chapter 10 and 12, come into that place where the human mind is at rest, then the consciousness of God flows forth as tremendous power. Tremendous power. And it dissolves the armies of the aliens and reveals harmony. It heals, heals, heals. When the human mind isn't busy thinking, the divine mind, the divine consciousness, is an act of expression. It's an expression in the whole universe. Now, how do we realize, I wrote here, not by thinking, nor by reading, but in a moment of silence, behold an inner experience, and only in that way. First, each one, let each one here realize this, God is individual consciousness. And you can bring the presence and power of the Godhead to bear in your room, in your home, in your community, in your family, but only in proportion as you can settle back into the silence and let it come through. That's the promise of the infinite way. You can tack that up somewhere. It's the promise. The infinite way makes a promise. And the promise is, if you realize, remember, realization is an inner experience achieved by what you practice from chapter 10 and chapter 12. It's an inner experience in which you are so still that you feel an inner movement, a quickening, a spiritual dimension opens up, a spiritual presence is upon you. You know it is not of this world. It's not a thought, a theory, a emotion. It's a transcendental presence that you feel. And it's more than intuition, but that's the beginning of it. It's an actual inner transforming experience in each meditation in which you feel it. That is realization. So, each one of you to which I am speaking, each one of you who hear this word, when you realize, have that inner experience that God is individual consciousness, your consciousness, you will bring the presence and power of the Godhead into your own room, your own home, your own community, your own family, but only in proportion as you can settle back into the silence and stand by as a witness, we said in the last talk, stand by as a witness and let it come through. Now that's clear, and I know it's clear, but you won't learn how to stand by as a witness and let it unless you are willing to make the sacrifices necessary to practice what's in chapter 10 and chapter 12. And you'll probably hear me say that a lot in the next 30 or so chapters, because that is the essence, the heart of this whole, well, infinite way. Now he says, and he admits, at first, this is the difficult thing to achieve. If it weren't so difficult, the whole world would have done it by now. It is very difficult to achieve. And if you are setting out on your own to achieve it, he says, you may have to do what I did. Go through months and months and months and months. Finally, years of 8, 10, 12, 20 meditations a day. Now remember, you know now, the meditation is not taking something out of a book and thinking about it and getting quiet and saying, okay, God, you take over. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. You know what it is now. I have explained it. It is crystal clear to everyone, and I know it. I did my work. Chapter 10. 12 periods a day, or he says up to 20. 8, 10, 12, 20. Of going within. You're perfectly free to say, "Thy grace is my sufficiency," and then shut up. Little mind, be quiet. Be still. And then listening for 3 to 4 minutes. And that's it. Right? Okay. Until it finally came forth. I have told classes that it took me 8 months of 5 to 8 meditations a day before I received the very first click, or, let's be clear about this, the very first inner release. Because now let me tell you something. Remember this. When you feel that inner transcendental presence, it releases you. There's also with it a feeling of release. Ah, thank you, Father. You're released. You can feel it. It falls off your shoulders, whatever it is, and what it is a sense of mortality. It falls off your shoulders. You feel it in conjunction, together with. The two are one. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I have come to set at liberty the captives. And so when that I comes, when your individual God consciousness announces itself to your awareness, there's a release. And it took him 8 meditations a day for 8 months before he experienced one less than a second inner feeling of it, which resulted in the first release he ever felt. 8 months of day and night work on it. All right, so now you guys have had, what, almost 30 days, or maybe 30 days, I haven't kept track. And some of you are worn out already. 8 months he worked at this, and he says finally years it took. Now listen closely. At the time, the question was, how do I know that there is such a thing as God as his individual consciousness, and that it will accomplish anything after I've made contact? And I can only say I had no knowledge of it at all. I just had a conviction, but I didn't have any knowledge. It was just a feeling, this is the way. That's all. He was going on a whim, a feeling, just an intuitive, well, maybe this. And yet it was enough to drive him 8 times to 12 times to 20 times a day for 8 months, and much more. Because listen, and so it was totally something that was done through an inner conviction that if I can touch the center of God, which is within myself, or God consciousness, which is within myself, that will release it into expression. And it will then take hold of my life, my work, my practice, my patience. And then it will begin. But just to achieve one, well, it wasn't even 1 second of realization. He says he doesn't know how to measure time when you get under a second. Of course, now we all know about nanoseconds. So we'll say Joel experienced a nanosecond of realization. All right, we'll read through it here, and then we'll make comment. It was less than a second of realization. It was another week before the second one came, and many days before the third one, and another week before the fourth one. All right, so let's put this in perspective here. but it looks like he had 4 experiences in 1 month. Only after 8 months of 20 times a day. 12 to 20. I actually said 5 to 8. Let's pick the middle one. 8 times a day, times 30, times 8 months. 1,920 times. So if he went 20 times some of those days, figure 2,000 times of sitting down and having no result whatsoever, no feeling of the presence, nothing. Can you do that? Would you do that? Would you sit down 2,000 times for 8 months, which must have felt like years and years, getting no result whatsoever, and continue with it? Heck, we can hardly get anybody these days to sit down 3 times a day. If they don't have a Cadillac by tomorrow or a new arm, they're not interested. What's next? Hey, let me go on to, what's that popular guy right now making all those talks? Oh yeah, Eckhart Tolle. Let me go on to him. Oh, let me go on to something else. Let me go on to something else. Let me go on to something else. It must be here somewhere. I don't know. This is the only way I know that works for me. I have that same conviction that he had. And I can't even take credit for that. If I hadn't had 3 or 4 completely powerful inner earth-shattering experiences in my teenager years, I might not even have that inner conviction. So, getting back to this, many days or another week before the 4th one, and then gradually it happened twice in 1 day. That's gradually, so we don't know how many weeks more that was. And then one day it seemed to last for an eternity, which certainly was far less than a minute. Now, do you see this? And so it gradually took over until probably 3 years went by before I knew that it was possible to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and sometime between 4 in the morning and 8, it would happen. But some days it took 5 minutes, and some days it still took the whole 4 hours. But never after that did I leave my home for my office until it happened. Okay, so let's look at this. What do we have here? Here's a man. He has a hunch that if he can make contact with God within instead of praying out there into the universe somewhere, that contact will result in healings, will result in that presence flowing forth. Something will happen if he can make the contact within. Well, he's light years ahead of most of humanity because they think it's up in the heaven, in the sky by and by. At least he knows where it's located. He believed the Master when the Master said the kingdom of heaven is within you. But at least he had discovered that the Father within could be contacted. Or at least he had that hunch. All right, so what does he do? Now listen to this, compare this to yourself. He begins to try to contact it. He sits down from 5 to 8 to 12 to 20 times a day, and sometimes in the night, to get quiet for those 3 to 4 minutes. Now, that's the reason he's telling you to do it, because that's how he did it. He didn't read that in the book, he did it. And yet, day after day after day, 2,000 times he returns. 2,000 times, nothing happens. But then on the 2,011th or 12th or 13th or 14th time, what was that? It was a nanosecond. He thought he felt something. So he persisted, and it was another week, right? Before the second one came. And then many days before the third. And then another week again before the fourth. And that day it happened twice. Now we're still talking seconds. If you total this all up, he's had 5 seconds or less in 9 months now. We're up to 9 months. 5 seconds in 9 months. Now, would you persist with that, or would you set it aside and say, oh, this isn't working? Let me go study something else, maybe transcendental meditation, or let me just go back to Christian Science because I know that mental activity had some good results. No, this man persists. And then all of a sudden he has an experience. Whoa! And even that's less than a minute. Less than a minute. And then 3 years later, now we're talking he's doing this for 4 years, right? I mean, well, 3 years, 9 months, whatever. Let's say 4 years. Now this man is practicing this, probably still doing it 12 times a day, for 4 years before he discovers, hey, if I get up at 4 in the morning, sometime between them and 8 o'clock when I have to go to my office, I'll have this inner realization, this feeling, right? And yet even then, sometimes it's still taking the whole 4 hours. Now, are you hearing what I'm hearing? How bad do you want it? There's people that read Practicing the Presence and they think they've had realizations because they can spout it off. But you and I know now what's really behind this tiny word, realization, or realized. Here's 4 years of hard work. 2,000 times. Now we've added another year. Maybe it's 2,500 or 3,000 times, because he probably got excited after he felt that almost a minute worth and got really busy. 3,000 times, and yet sometimes it's still taking 4 hours to make that contact. And I bet you sometimes it's still only a few seconds. Does this give you some sort of feel of where you might fit in here? Now you've had your almost 30 days, and you're worn out, right? Yeah, right. Okay. I just bring that up because, well, he'll tell you here, it takes sacrifice. But how bad do you want it? Another way of looking at it is, you know, don't worry about it. If you don't do it now, you can do it next time, or the next time, or the next. I can't. Now, I may not get this as deeply as he did. However, I can't stop. I can't. I just can't. All right. It is like a deep well of silence, a deep pool of silent spirit. When you are at that center, it is as quiet and peaceful and serene as heaven itself, because it is heaven. Now that's an important statement. I underlined it. And let's see what I wrote. I wrote, can heaven be attained? No. Heaven can be felt. Heaven can be contacted. Heaven can be rested in. Because heaven is at the center of your being. And let us have no ifs, ands, or buts about it. heaven is at the center. Well, heaven is the center of your being. But those are just pretty words, poetry, until you've paid the price, made the sacrifice, gone within, however many times it takes, till you make the contact. Then you can throw away the books, throw away the tapes. You won't, though, because you like hearing other people sharing their experience with it. But you can, because from then on you'll be living by the Word of God. The Word of God is not in Scripture. You can't find the Word of God in the Bible. I think that's funny, people walking around saying, this is the Word of God, particularly the red parts. Baloney. It's not, the Word of God's not there. The Word of God is that which you receive, that which is imparted to you, only after you have learned to make this contact by practicing 12 times a day. All right. It is out of that deep well of contentment, out of that deep inner peace, my peace, that the healings flow. Again, we're making a loop around and coming back to the start of the chapter. How do you know if you've made the contact? Because the healings are flowing. And so when you make the contact with that inner peace, with my peace, these healings flow, these supplies flow, these employments flow, these harmonies, these joys, they flow out from it. And then those who have tuned in by asking for help, they get the benefit of it. Now, do you see that the only part Joel played as an infinite way practitioner, as a healer, was to make that contact and then watch, stand by as a witness as the healings flowed? Not from Joel, from heaven within. The healings flow from heaven. They flow from heaven. Your joy is to stand there as a witness, as we spoke of in that talk, the cup of Christ. That's your joy. You must open out a way. That's your 12 times a day. For heaven to flow forth as power. The Spirit has power. The power to heal. Okay? And I wrote, note, any words or thoughts? Do you see any words or thoughts here? No, only a peace or a silence. All right, now, are you beginning to see how wrong we had it? We thought that we were going to grasp an understanding of truth and apply it systematically, and we would perform healings. Just because we read these books and we misunderstood them. We were seeing them through the eyes of a mortal sense of existence. Now, through the wonders of the 1955 Kailua Studies series and the consciousness that spoke them, we're not seeing through a mortal's eyes anymore. We're seeing that I must somehow learn how, even if only for a split second at first, to lay down my mortality, stand stock still, as we were told in chapter 12, stand stock still and be the witness, the avenue of awareness only. And as that awareness, watch as heaven flows forth as healings. Ah, that's a totally different idea than we had about a year ago, isn't it? And so he says, meditation is the way, but do not get fooled. I love this. All these years we've been thinking meditation is the way. If I meditate, I can bring forth this healing. Meditation is only a way to achieve the way. The way is contact. Why is that brought out? Because the day will come when you won't need to meditate. You will be an open contact. That will be who you are and what you are. And so you will be Christ, because heaven will be flowing forth as healings through you constantly. So he reiterates, meditation in and of itself is not the way. It's only a way of achieving an inner silence to make that contact. But when the contact is made, then you have discovered the way. All right, now listen, please. Put your listening ears on and do never forget this. If I am suddenly whisked away by aliens tomorrow to another dimension, you remember this. This is what I wrote here, what came to me. When contact is made, you have discovered the real infinite way. You discover the infinite way is not a book. The infinite way is not a man. The infinite way is not even a path. The infinite way is not a set of principles, nor an organization in Arizona. The real infinite way is your own withinness, your own consciousness. This is the secret known to very few who call themselves Infinite Way students. Get the feel of that. He says, meditation is not the way. It's only a way of achieving an inner silence or stillness to make the contact within you. And what are you contacting? The infinite way. Heaven. And now you know. Now you know. The secret is out. There is no infinite way out here. The infinite way is your very own center of your being. Heaven. You are the infinite way. Only now you must become still so that the infinite way flows forth as you. So meditation is the way to get back into ourselves until we reach that deep well of contentment, that center of our being, which is God, where we, as individuals, disappear. The I disappears in that deep inner silence. Oh, how different this is from what we thought. Oh, how different. The fruitage, I wrote, is healings, which flow from that center. If there are no healings, then there's no contact. If there is no contact, keep practicing. Practicing what? 12 times a day, 3 or 4 minutes. Standing stock still. One by one, he says, the students here are attaining a measure of the ability to touch that center in their own being, and they're getting a response to it. And in time, everyone here will have it. So that at will, they can touch the center of their own being and find the God power, God presence, flowing from them into the world as an atmosphere of harmony. All right? So, no secret now about what you must do. And when this happens, you will be a witness as healings come to those you meet. Then will come the next step, in which each one will carry it to the next person. This work isn't to try and go out and influence anybody to follow it. The way is to be joyous and free in sharing it with those who come to you, who indicate by their eagerness and desires and sacrifice that this is the way in which they have been led. You see that? When it comes to the individual to sacrifice to achieve this inner realization, that is when the numbers dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. And I'm seeing that myself. I'm seeing that myself in this mystical principles. For 3 years I've been speaking of this, hinting, suggesting, and now getting plainer and plainer and plainer. And guess what? They're dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. I don't care. If there's 5 people out of the 143 that are in the mystical principles list, that's beautiful. Those 5 can carry it to 25. And those 25 to 125. Maybe this circle of Christhood can be a reality. So, yes, here's the principle. God is your individual consciousness. I wrote here in the margin, sacrifice is necessary. What sacrifice? Everything that stands in the way of 12 periods of day, of having no words and no thoughts. So, God is your individual consciousness, so you can, through persistence, perseverance, and sacrifice, reach the kingdom of God that is within you. And in reaching it, you can bring it forth into your experience, so that it takes over your entire life, your entire mind, your entire spirit, your entire soul, your entire body, your entire business, your entire undertaking or existence of any nature. One step in this is refraining from the use of the word I as much as possible. Why? Because that increases the sense of mortal, that increases the feeling of a mortal sense of existence. And in your meditation, you're laying down that mortal sense of existence until you experience this transcendental presence. So he points out how important it is when he says, only in proportion as we can nullify that sense of I, can this which we call God consciousness take over and fulfill itself. So in addition to those meditations you're practicing, you should probably refrain from use of the word I as much as you can. And he says, we've done this already to some extent in our meditation. Just think to what extent you have already eliminated the word from your vocabulary, the word I from your vocabulary, when you have eliminated it from all prayer and treatment. That is, he says, one of the biggest steps you will ever be called upon to take. So we've got 2 things going on, don't we? We've got the practice of 12 times a day, 3 or 4 minutes, with no words or thoughts, and eliminating the use of the word I from our vocabulary as much as possible. All right? That's the practice. Now, that practice is not the thing. That's not the infinite way. That practice is only to trick you into getting still after many months, probably. And in that stillness, having an experience in which the real infinite way, your withinness, announces itself. So do you see, everybody, how each class in this series is part of a process to help us attain this silence and to rest in it? Can you see how one builds on the other? Like, pray for anything you want, so long as it's spiritual. So, he says, no one has any way of knowing what the spiritual kingdom consists of, and no one will ever know it until they are in the presence of God and feel what a spiritual blessing is. a benediction or a release. That word is so important, release. It is in a sense of release that God's blessing is felt. We are released from the things and thoughts of this world. Only in a sense of release, only in a sense of release, is God's blessing made manifest. Okay, that's very, very important. Underline it, star it, circle it, highlight it, make a note in the margin. We started this chapter by saying God is individual consciousness is the principle. That's the principle you're trying to realize. Once it's realized at depth, it takes over your experience and you can't have any more problems, certainly none that are permanent. You have discovered the secret, everything Jesus came to teach you. You have discovered your own withinness is the real infinite way. Now, the way to discover that is through the practice of chapter 10 and chapter 12. You're going to have 12 times a day up to 20, and if necessary, get up at 4 in the morning, so that you can make that contact. How do you know if you've made the contact? You will feel first, there's an inner release. I can't describe that to you, but when you experience it, you'll know it. It's a beautiful thing. It's wonderful. I live for that. I don't live for basketball or baseball or football. I live for this. I live for release. Because when I experience that within, guess what I experience without? Healing. Because that release is the inner proof that you have made contact with heaven. And that release shows you the outer proof, which is a healing and improving of one form or another. Now, we've also called this receiving an impartation from within, resulting in a manifestation without. You see, you can kind of feel this. This has to become what you are. All right. So we're released from the belief in mortality, if only for a few seconds. And this results in a manifestation of the kingdom of heaven as your outer experience. So no longer do we pray or meditate for supply, health, companionship. Only one thing now can we ask for: to feel that inner release, which comes from the realization of God. All right, the whole of God's blessing is made manifest in the word release. See, now that's pretty important. He feels that's pretty important too, doesn't he? We are released through the blessing of God from the thoughts and the things of this world, or from a sense of mortality, because that's what the thoughts and things of this world are. They constitute a sense of mortality. But in this inner release, we are released from it. Christ is setting us free. We're not captive. We're free. He says we are free. We are given release and freedom from mortality, the thoughts and things of this world. Do you see that? And I ask the same thing. Do you now finally see clearly? And I can answer for you. Yes, you do. Nobody could hear this and not see this clearly. All right. So we are seeking my peace. In that release from the things and thoughts of the world, we find heaven. Not out here in added things. No, we find it in the release. All right, so let's put this in very simple to understand so I won't forget it. Terminology. Seek ye first that inner release, no matter how long it takes, and When you experience that inner release, heaven will appear as your outer experience. That's it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things are added. And that's not true. Seek ye first the release, and you will awaken to the harmony that is. Alright. We must let the Spirit bear intercession with our spirit. And again, he's saying here, you cannot possibly know how to pray or what to pray for. Until that moment of contact, we do not know the nature of spiritual blessing. If we conceive of it in our minds, if you have a mental concept of what spiritual blessing is, well, you better throw it out, because you don't know. So he says here, if you have a concept of it, you're just one step ahead of the Orthodox world. Sometimes we think of God appearing to us in twice the income, twice the health, twice the beautiful home, and that, of course, has nothing to do with this situation. God doesn't operate that way at all. Please pound that into your brain. Seek ye first only one thing, the inner release. So he says, we have been released from the thoughts and things of this world. And we must evermore seek this inner release. Again, he repeats the word, I coming in will stop that. If you think, oh, look how well I'm doing. I'm bringing heaven itself into manifestation. Well, that'll just about end it for a while until you can get off of that. No, it's God's understanding that can multiply loaves and fishes. The only part I can play is to drop dead. I love that. That's just, mwah. I just love that. I could put that right up on my wall right there. The only part I play is to drop dead. That's beautiful. Ah, yes. Yeah, that in itself is almost a release. If I can just die daily and die hard enough, then I will find the multiplication of loaves and fishes. Again, it comes to turning within and learning how to do that. However many times it takes you a day, however many weeks, months, or even years, until you make that contact, make it again, and then you feel that release. And then you see, wow, that inner release resulted in this beautiful thing here, this beautiful person here, this beautiful body now functioning perfect. All right? It's not magic. You didn't wave a wand and change things out here. No, that's not what happened. You were set at liberty. The captive was set free. You were set free when you were released momentarily in your meditation and simply rested back in heaven. And in that release, it resulted in appearing out here as improved living experience. It always does. And if it doesn't, you're not having the release. That's how you know. All right, so the part that you die daily is coming to the place where you realize, gosh, I can't do anything but just make this inner contact and stand there as a witness. And furthermore, I can't even continue to think in terms of I. I've got to be so still that there's only this transcendental presence, this heaven, this infinite way, living itself. And that's it in a nutshell. God bless you. We could stop there if you could all do this. All right, so again, the principle is God is individual consciousness. I can't draw it forth, but I can get out of the way and let it flow forth. That contact that I make within lets the flow come forth. All right? Then, of course, he gets into there's no such thing as yesterday. Because, for goodness sake, if you are condemning yourself for any mistakes, large or small, that you made even yesterday, even one day ago, or even a few hours ago, get off it, will you? That has nothing to do with making this contact. Nothing. You're wasting your time. That's all religious baloney. I've got to be good, and I've got to earn. Oh, stop it. Let it go. If you keep doing that, you're being a you're being a bad boy or a bad girl. No, if you're doing that, you're just delaying this. Now quit it. All yesterdays, forget it. I don't care if you murdered somebody, and I've known some people that have. It makes no difference with all at all, because I've seen that the minute they made the contact, bam, grace, power, love, blessing began to flow. Look at Paul. He really did kill those people. He murdered them. Yet, he made the contact, and wham, his whole life was changed, and grace began to flow. So stop it, would you? I mean, are you bigger than God? Well, God's not doing that, so who the heck do you think you are? Quit it. And then, of course, he goes into tomorrow's. No, there's no God's going to manifest tomorrow either. That doesn't help either, because then you're looking. And he mentioned that a few chapters ago. Don't look out there to see how it's working. Hey, I've made the contact. How's my bills doing? Quit that, and I better tell myself that, too. All right. So, you let go of yesterday, you let go of tomorrow. You practice this, as we have explained, until the day comes when this Christ so completely takes over, all sense of self has been overcome, and the Christ is living our lives. But until that time, every single day, we, you and I, each one of us individually, must go to the storehouse every day for our manna. And that's 12 times a day, 12 to 20. All right, because we do that, when we make the contact, we loose the power of God. Yes, God is our individual consciousness as the principle. Then, many times a day, we must learn to turn to that infinite storehouse and make our contact. Okay, over and over, he's repeating the same thing. Alright, so we must go within to the center of our being, which is God, for our hourly manna, which that would be, well, 16 times a day before you fall asleep, right? I'm to make the contact and let it flow. I do not know what form it will flow in. And there you have the secret. That's the whole secret. And now he's saying there's a destiny. God has something in store for you, but you won't know what it is until you make the contact. But when you do make the contact, it works. It will bring it forth, what your destiny is. So the infinite intelligence, which we call God, which is at the center of your being, that determines what your particular expression will be. But you will never know it unless you make the contact. All right. We must turn within frequently, as frequently as possible for that contact. And he says, here's what's going to happen as you do that. This was his experience. The first thing that happened was he had the feeling, or he may have even heard the words after touching heaven, from now on I was close to you, but now I will be beside you. And then sometime later he heard, and later is probably months or years, heretofore I have walked beside you, but now I am within you. And then again a period of years, and he experienced, it said, I am you. All right, let's see, what did I write here? I learned that if I would have an experience of God, I must be where God is, and God is only in the now. Yes, I can't have an experience of God yesterday or tomorrow. There is no difference between the flow of God this minute or 100 years from now. It's just a matter of the continuity of the contact. As long as there is a work for us to do on what is called this plane of existence, we can maintain ourselves here on this plane by the contact. You see, this contact is going to do much more than give you a few baubles. It will maintain and sustain its expression which is you. There is an evolutionary process at work which we call an activity of God, unfolding and disclosing and revealing itself, if we are willing instruments of it, and open ourselves in this way through meditation, then the activity of the Spirit takes over our mind, soul, body, and uses us. It uses us as an instrument for its activity and unfoldment. All right. However, I noticed here where I underlined it says, if we are willing instruments of it. And I wrote down here, willingness is only a fantasy unless we are putting it into practice 12 times a day. Not my will to do this, but Father, thy will to put this into practice. And again, he wraps it up by saying, we must have frequent periods of meditation in which we permit it to have its sway by letting it flow. So that's the whole essence of chapter 15. He is reinforcing the need to follow the other chapters, chapter 10 and chapter 12. Right? All right. Let's take a moment and see if there's anything else. I only want to say that I love you. I love each and every one of you. All of you have expressed love to me, and I have felt it, and I have recognized it to be the Father's love flowing through you. And I have recognized that as I have made this contact over these many weeks and stood by as a witness, that inner presence, that transcendental presence, has flowed forth. And I, not knowing how it would appear, was perfectly delighted and full of joy to feel it come through all of you as the love that has come through in donations, in letters, in phone calls, in all the many ways. And how wonderful this is that the kingdom of heaven within me expresses through the love of all of you, so much so that I know now, through inner realization, through the feel, that my oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all of you, with all spiritual being and idea. And I have had this experience, and I want to tell you, thank you, thank you. I love you. This feels so wonderful. How grateful I am to this inner presence that it would flow through all of you to me. And I also am aware that this presence has flowed through me to you. And now you understand what must be done, the sacrifice you must make. He who loses his life shall find the real infinite way, which is the center of his being. Okay. Thank you for listening. And just God bless. Just, I love you.